live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Lots to get to tonight. Reaction from the Week 4 loss to San Diego, 33-14. Blake Bortles, a historic rookie debut, and the Jags defense still has some questions. One of those might have been answered about an hour ago. Tony,
I got some things to get off my chest, too. So whenever you want me to do my weekly get off the chest.
We'll get to you.
Here we go.
We'll get to you. We got 2 hours to get to
you. I know. I just got things to say about some of the comments I got on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, boy.
I've had enough.
You take it so personal.
No, it's
you
not
really
personal.
Do. You really do. You
need I to don't take it
you
personal.
You need to turn that off. You need to, if you don't
Should I get rid of Twitter?
No, don't get rid of Twitter. Get rid of looking at your mentions.
Okay.
You just baffled him.
Yeah. Why would you even have Twitter then?
Because you're putting out your stuff. You know how many players and stuff don't look at their mentions because they don't want to hear it? People are nasty, Tony.
Oh, you read headlines, bad. Tony.
That's why I used
you're
to
a headline
mainly,
reader.
I used to, I mean, mainly for the news and sports information.
Well, what's going
stuff.
On?
Yeah, going on. I follow you, obviously. Follow JP, great breaking news that
Thank you
both
you.
Give.
Appreciate that.
But every once in a while, I think you should interact with your followers.
I don't mind.
You do.
I do. Yeah, I do.
I mean, I like going
I
back
tell
and
them
forth
nuts.
A little bit. But I just want to get some
and
things
And you know,
off
if they
chest.
Carry it too far, I send them a two-word reply.
What do you say?
See ya.
You block you're a block. You're a
oh, you're a blocker?
It's
oh,
a block
I've
party.
Never,
huh?
I've never blocked anyone.
If you go to the, if you go so
I'll block
far,
you, Tony.
I will block you.
How do you block? I don't even know how you block.
I'll show you. Just block them.
Then some people getting blocked.
Wow. The block party coming up.
Joe, you're getting blocked because you on Twitter is too much.
It is trouble. All right. We'll get back to the Twitter.
Okay.
Is that all you had to get off your chest?
No, I have some things to get off, but
all
go
right.
ahead.
Okay. Well, throughout the course of the show, he's going to get a lot of stuff off his chest.
Oh, I'm going to say a lot. I got a lot to say.
Just not 225 times like he used to.
Oh, no. I was thinking the other day, I was watching someone do that, and I don't know how many times I could do it. I might not be able to do it once because it might hurt my shoulder so bad. The thought of like having that much weight on my shoulders.
I don't know if I could do it once anymore either.
But my shoulders are trashed. Yeah. I mean, it's just like
plus,
bone.
You got long arms. You're one of those guys that would tell me, you got long arms, you got short arms, you could do more than me.
Well, you do have short arms.
I do.
Like everything's short on you.
Yeah, it is.
Moving right along.
When I reach into my pocket, unlike some.
Here we go.
Whoa. I'm very generous. I buy stuff for Joe all the time when we go out.
Blake Bortles, 29 of 37, 253 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions, the ability to keep plays alive, and a couple of those plays. The Allen Hurns throw was one where he escaped pressure on a nice pass rush and got out of the pocket and threw down the field. The other in the fourth quarter, 3rd and 17, got out of the rush there, rolled right, spun around again, found Harbor, who had come all the way across the field. There was some of that. And then there were the two interceptions, too. A little good,
only
a little
one,
bad.
Only one.
Okay.
I mean, there was two, but the other one is not on Blake. The first one was not on Blake at all. Cecil Shorts running, you know, a hitch, basically. You know, a little 7-yard stop route. And jogs off the ball. He pulls his hamstring the play before.
Yeah.
And then jogs off the ball and stops and doesn't come back to it. And so the defensive back just undercuts it. And if you run that route correctly where you're full speed and you press the route and then you come back to the ball, that's a completed pass. And Blake is sitting back, he's reading the coverage. That's where it's taking him. Hits his back foot. He lets it fly. He doesn't know the guy's jogging.
He's got to come off the field in that situation.
Yo, here's my theory with it. And I love Cecil. I mean, he is a competitor. But in that situation, you have one or two choices. You basically say, screw it, and I'm going to run, and if I've tear the dang thing off the bone, so be it. I'm going full speed. Or you say, I can't do that, and you walk off the field and say, someone else needs to come in because
right.
I can't. It's A or B. There is no C. I'll jog through it and – stand out here and do nothing.
We saw it happen when C happened.
Yep. Well, something like that happens, though. Doesn't Cecil have to tell the quarterback in that situation, look, I'm over here.
I would think.
I'm
no, but at that point, fall down.
Yeah.
Just get off the field.
Yeah, get off.
I mean, so I put that one on Cecil. I mean, that was And I get it. He wants to compete. He wants to be out there. He's already frustrated because this is a lingering injury. So he, in his mind, as I, if I were to defend Cecil, he is thinking, not again. Come on. You know, maybe it's just a tight little tightness and cramp. I can do it. And he takes off and realizes immediately that it's a pull. But I go back to, with that being said, one or two choices. You run full speed, hope you don't tear off the bone. If you do, you live with it, or you take yourself out. And I'm actually fine with either one. You have to know your body. It's not a toughness issue. I don't question Cecil's toughness. Guys' bodies are what they are, and you have injuries, and there's some things you can't play through. And I'm fine with Cecil's, I can't do it. I get that. It stinks. I hate it for you, but take yourself out.
I agree 100%. Either you are or you aren't. You can't. All you do is hurt your team if you can't go.
Well, I always said that, listen, and I think it was, I remember, you know, the great basketball coach Jerry Sloan, who coached for Utah forever. I heard him in an interview one time and said, listen, and they were asking about John Stockton or Karl Malone, and they were dinged up. Something was going on. And he basically said, no, if he's out there, there's no excuse.
Right.
Don't talk. If you're going to play, don't tell me, well, I'm hurt so I can't. No, you go play. And you don't use an excuse. And if you can't, then you don't play.
Like the old John Ogden excuse against Dwight Freeney.
Listen, John Ogden was a
great player. He was a great player, but he got beat for 3 sacks. And all the Ravens people tell me, oh, well, John wasn't healthy that day. He had a bad foot or whatever. Well, he was on the field. You're accountable for what you did on the field.
Like I say it all the time. Myself, the kids I coach in high school, I said, listen, what you put on the field is you.
Well, it's you on the football field.
That's you.
On the football field.
As a player, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not talking about – I mean, listen, that is who you are as a player. So whatever you put out there. So with the Jaguars, and this is what we talk about in the first four games, what you – is on the – that's who you are right now. I'm not saying that's who you have to stay. That's not who you have to stay. Mm-hmm. You can change it. You can get better. You can improve it. But the body of work each week you put out there, that is what you are for the week.
I'll say this, and you were talking about Bortles.
Mm-hmm. He's a stud.
In the history of this franchise, I don't think there's ever been a Monday where a team got blown to smithereens where people felt good about the direction of the franchise because they saw what they have at that position. And I'm not saying every game is going to be that way.
I have bad games. They all do.
But, boy, he has that it again that we always talk about. When he was flushed left out of the pocket and fires that ball down the field, to a wide-open receiver, there are a lot of quarterbacks in the league that would not have stopped to make the throw. They would have got out of there.
Well, the best part about what he does is he feels the rush. He has great, obviously, great peripheral vision because he sees it without looking at it. And so he senses it. He sees it out of the corner. I don't know how he does it, but he just knows where to go. And it was funny. Listen, the first play of the game, he steps back there and he throws it up in the middle of the field. I'm like, oh, well, that didn't look very good. And then from that point on, for the rest of the game, until the Eric Weddle pick, which was a bad throw, no, he got fooled. Happens to the best of them. I mean, he was pretty good.
He was off target
a little bit a couple times, but that's
saying
it, always
people saying, "Well, what do you become, Chad Henne? He's not throwing the ball down the field." Like,
what are you talking about?
That's what people said to me. I'm like, what? I'm the same way. I'm like, what are you watching?
He threw for 78%, first game ever over 250 yards. Explain to me what at one point he had 120 quarterback rating.
I had him side by side in our green room. I had
now, Bridgewater really good
here,
too.
Okay, Bridgewater here, and Bortles here.
Bortles better.
He will be better. Bridgewater played pretty good yesterday.
No, he's a good player.
317.
Yeah, but
yards,
he had 65 of it on a little dent screen or whatever that went. You know, so. But he looked better than I thought he would look. But he's also playing against the Atlanta Falcons defense, which isn't very good.
They're in trouble.
They might be the worst defense. They're on pace to be the second worst defense in history of the league, so he lit them up.
Let me ask you a question about the Falcons real quick. Did they finish the game with an offensive, a tight end playing tackle?
Yeah, Tololo.
They all
Tololo
got hurt.
Tololo was playing right tackle.
Wow.
Bad.
Holy smokes.
Well, we'll talk that.
Yeah, we'll get to the
league in a little while. But back to as far as Bortles in this franchise, didn't you guys sense that today? People
are mad. Don't get them wrong.
They're mad, but if you're smart – if you're a smart fan, you see, you're mad, but you also see the big picture. And the big picture is, for the first time in the history of this franchise, and I mean that, There is a, including Mark, because Mark came from another franchise and wasn't prototypical. They have that guy who has sustainable, long-term success in the pocket, out of the pocket, moving around, and looking like a real franchise quarterback.
I'll say this about him. I thought he would be good yesterday. I thought he'd play well.
Okay.
I did not think he'd be that good. I thought it'd be more difficult for him. Made all throws. He throws with anticipation. He sees things. He sticks at tough places. With all that said, my favorite part of the entire thing, I never felt for one moment when I watched him in the huddle or at the line of scrimmage or bad play, good play, that it was too much for him. And you can tell when a guy is rattled or it's too much or the situation becomes bigger than he is. I never felt like. I felt like the entire time I was watching a guy who was in control of the situation. Now, I know he made – I'm sure if I sat down with Jed Fish, offensive coordinator, and he would tell me a handful of things that he missed this read or did this wrong or whatever. I mean, that happens every – especially when you're young. It's going to take time.
Right.
But I never felt like it was too big for him. I felt like I was watching two really good quarterbacks. Now, Phillip was much better. I mean, he was – we can talk about Phillip Rivers and a little bit later. I mean, he was amazing. But Bortles, I just got – and it was fun to watch because, to Pete's point, I look forward – listen, there was times after last year in those first eight, I was like, I'm not really looking forward to next week. Now, I'm just a dude the radio and you know, I'm like half in, half out as far as the fandom because, you know, the position we hold. I left that game after a three-possession loss of thinking, I can't wait till we play Pittsburgh. I can't wait because I think, listen, this guy gives us a chance.
Ben and Baby Ben next week.
He's more athletic.
The passing of the torch. There's a pregame ceremony.
He's more athletic than Ben.
Right, he's more of a combo between Luck and Ben than either
he's
one.
He's Ben's size,
but
more athletic.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't run like Luck. I mean, Luck's a 4'6 guy. I mean, he can fly.
We welcome in Jeff Loggeman from Jaguars All Access at Logs56 on Twitter.
Yeah, you're on Twitter. I saw it. I follow you.
Yeah.
You don't tweet enough, though.
No one toots as much as you, Pete. Nobody.
I mean, I got other things to do with my life, Pete, but then to live through Twitter every moment of every day.
I don't live through Twitter every moment of every day, but I got to tweet.
Most of the stuff you do is work.
Yeah. I'm glad you're on Twitter, though.
Unbelievable.
I'm glad you're on Twitter.
I mean, you know. First of all, I can't believe you're not on it. Now you're like, you know, I'm on it, and you're like, you're still not satisfied.
Jeff, have you not figured out Pete is never happy with anything except for himself?
It's good for Pete. It's good for Pete.
That's right. We all know that.
Everybody pays attention.
That is true.
Well done. Get it. We've talked quarterback, of course, already in this show, but we haven't got to the defense yet, guys. We'll get to that a little later, but they made a move later today. Winston Guy is no longer on the football team. He's cut. Somebody had to be held accountable, and that Winston Guy is the guy this week,
About somebody that needs to be held accountable. I think it's that, you know, there's
gotta get better.
It's 2 weeks in a row that Winston Guy has been on the field. And he's had a mistake, and mistakes have been colossal. And you can't. I don't know if you focused in on Gus's press conference today. He talked a lot about the word trust. You know, and you got to trust guys. And if you can't put a guy on the field for limited reps because it was a three-down look where they brought in the extra defensive back and brought pressure, and Winston Guy had to come down and cover Eddie Royal. And once again, he had an eye violation. You know, the week before, he had an eye violation against Kobe Fleener that allowed the very first down on a third and nine. And then all of a sudden, this one was much bigger than that. You know, so you got to have guys that know what they're doing and are in position to make plays. Now, once you get to that point, then you want to find a guy that once he's in position, he has an athletic gift that can make the play. You know, but first of all, you got to find a guy that's there to be in position.
That's a tough cover for him, isn't it, though? Eddie Royal on a safety?
No.
Yeah,
Eddie Royal's not a burner now.
Yeah, but it's still. I think that's a tough cover for.
But here's
the thing: where it was third and long, and where Winston Guy was playing from. My guess is if he plays the technique, if you watch the all 22, the coaches tape, as soon as Eddie Royal goes and makes the break,
right.
I mean, Winston Guy is coming downhill.
He came and immediately broke on the out.
That's my point.
Right.
But that's not a problem. If you come down on the out, that's fine. But the problem is that your eyes are turned back to the quarterback immediately once you see that out route. Your eyes don't leave the guy you cover when you're playing man.
When I say that, he was coming downhill so fast.
I still think it's a tough cover for him.
No, but if he's
if he's just chasing.
I'm not giving him an excuse because I think it's been a mistake from the beginning.
But to Jeff's point, if he's just chasing and watching the receiver, he can then just chase and run. I mean, Winston Guy has speed. He can chase and follow.
Did that play get him cut?
No. It was.
I think it was a nail in the coffin.
It was a combination of things. And when I said this, I think, last week with Mike Dempsey, that when you watch him play, when he lines up, a lot of times he's looking to others, and specifically Jonathan Cyprien, you know, to communicate. But I think he needs more than communication. He needs guidance. You know, so is Jonathan Cyprien at his best when he's trying to get, you know, Winston Guy Jr. lined up and squared away on what his responsibilities are? So I think that was part of it.
Jeff, what do you think about how Jonathan Cyprien played? I thought he played a solid game.
I mean, he played good. I wouldn't say he played great.
I thought he played good.
I mean, he could have gotten torched by Antonio Gates on one where he had a man. He got his feet stuck in mud.
Yeah, he got caught with the old man move.
And that was the one. It was actually the touchdown of Malcolm Floyd over Demetrius McCray.
Right.
That Gates was wide open. It could have gone to him on that play, and then everybody would have been saying, boy, Cyprien didn't play very well.
It was the old man move. He got lured to sleep.
With a little.
He just got, no, he took his time like he wasn't going anywhere. Yeah. And just exploded.
And then that's, you know, we actually said that, you know, because I was talking to Pete Metzlar before the game, and I asked him, I said, is Antonio Gates really that slow now? You know, because when you watch him on film, he's just coasting.
Right.
And Pete said, he said, look, he said, I'm telling you, he said, he's still got the burst. He goes, he does that because he almost tries to lull people to sleep.
He does, too. He lulled Jonathan Sip to sleep.
And he says, and he turns it on when he has to. He said he's still got incredible burst.
He also knows how to use that big body, too.
Oh, he's great. He sits it down.
He's an excellent player, and he's been doing it for a long time.
Very,
you know,
good.
And the Chargers certainly have been building their roster a little bit differently than the approach here.
What do you got tonight?
Clay Harbor. Got Clay Harbor. You know, his first start after missing, I think, about 8 weeks with a calf injury.
Eight catches.
You know,
75.
I don't remember the yards.
Like,
you know,
that, yeah.
It wasn't that many. You know, it was like 60-something yards.
Oh, was it 60-something?
In the 60s. Solid performance. And it'll be interesting to talk to him, too, also about Nick Jacobs, the tight end that they signed last week off of the New Orleans Saints practice squad.
Nice block.
Who had to play. And actually played pretty doggone good. And got a touchdown catch.
Gotta be a smart kid, huh? He picked it up right.
Well, now. I don't know. I don't know much about him, but he caught the touchdown, which was a nice throw and catch. On two of the third downs, he came and the Sam out strong side linebacker is lined up over him, shoots the inside gap, and Nick Jacob takes him and drives him and washes it and allows. Gerhardt right off his rear end and for the first down.
So,
I thought he played well.
So Toby turned the 6 yard gain into a 2 yard gain on that play.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
We're in for a long night.
I'll stay away from that.
Here we go.
You got Clay Harbor tonight.
I got to deal with this all night.
7 o'clock on Channel 4, yeah, right?
That's
here
right.
At the stadium.
And Sam Kavars.
All right. Sam Kavars, Jeff Loggeman. Clay Harbor tonight at 7 o'clock on Channel 4. That's Jaguars All Access. For public services, is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Trust is huge. You got to be able to count on the next guy that he is going to do his job, and he is going to do it consistently, and you know exactly what you're getting from that person. Right now, at times, we don't have that. Earlier with the offensive line, I don't know if it was there. But you can grow that trust. You can grow that trust.
That's Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley in his Monday press conference after the Jags fall in San Diego. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. We heard Loggeman talk about trust.
Pete, you've been – I mean, not Pete. You haven't.
I'm
J.P.
I'm J.P. Hi.
Sorry.
How are you?
We
J.P. Shadrick, nice
to
meet you.
We do look a little bit different, you know.
Yeah, he's tall.
I know you were hitting the head a lot.
Better dressed than you.
He's tall.
Yeah, and you had four-ounce shivers across the helmet. I know they took their toll on
you.
They took their toll.
Thank you for that.
Or you.
You're still calling me fat. It's okay.
You've been at every press conference.
I've been there, yep.
That Gus Bradley has done since the beginning.
That's true, yeah.
Is that the most – because Gus does not get angry.
I don't know if you
–
seriously, you just spilling
dark
everywhere.
God.
Come on.
Sorry.
Can we take you anywhere?
No, but was that the most
Your hat's getting wet in your phone.
I don't care about that. Was that the most animated in the sense of hitting the mic and like, because you could hear in his voice, we have to be able to trust guys.
Well, knowing what we know now with the Winston guy.
I'm just saying, listening to that.
Maybe, but
But I haven't been in every one, so that's what I'm
asking. There's been a few others where he gets kind of into it, you know, where he gets into a point and excited about the point.
I thought he was very animated today, just from the stuff I heard. Yeah, I thought he sounded. Like,
that's
angry.
Not Gus.
We'll hear more from him.
Gus is animated, but Gus is.
He sounded
which
angry.
I appreciate it. That's like as angry as I've ever heard Gus.
And
is
you
my
know
point.
What?
Gus speak for being angry.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean,
he needs to be.
Why? Because now as a player, you love Gus because he's consistent and you know what he's going to get all the time. And that's what you want as a player, and you know that Gus is going to have your back and protect the team.
Well, he must have gotten somebody's attention because he got you so worked up that you spilled your drink all over everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Next week, we're going to have to tape your arms next to your body.
I cleaned it up.
You can't take this guy anywhere.
No, but my point is, you didn't get that sense?
No, I could see it, yeah. Yeah, but it then again, it's not going to be an over-the-top banging the table. It was just for
emphasis. But he's never going to do that.
Right.
I mean, I've never seen him do it, at least.
Right.
I mean, he'll get after guys if he doesn't think effort's there and stuff like that. But when I heard him hit the point home about trust, and I think that's what his issue is in some of the areas right now. That I think every coach, I'll say Mike Mazur, the offensive line coach I played, used to say, he says, listen, either be bad all the time. Now, he didn't say it quite that clean, but either be bad all the time or be good all the time. But this up and down yo-yo stuff, I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know who you are as a player. And I think a lot of that goes down the line is, can I trust you? See, not that you're perfect, but can I trust you to do your job?
I look at that differently. If there's no consistency on a unit, then I blame Mike Mazur. If it's up and down.
No, he's talking about as a player, every day how you approach your job.
Oh, how you approach your
mentally.
Job.
Mentally. Not just, I mean, guys are going to get beat.
Right.
But just, I mean, your approach as a pro, I mean, can I trust you? What he was saying is, can I trust you to show up here today and do your job? And I think that's what I heard Gus saying.
What I want to say, and I want to say this
maybe I'm
loudly,
wrong.
Because I think this is something that the fans need to hear.
Okay, let's hear it.
Uh-oh.
The stupidity of the regime being in trouble 4 games into their second season.
Who's saying that?
It's being said.
By who?
Fans, go on. You can read it on Twitter and everything else. Everywhere.
Do I need to go on?
No.
Is this the time to get off of my chest?
I'm
going to
say this: 4 games into a second season of a complete rebuild, and people are already questioning A, the general manager, and B, the head coach. As a guy who's covered this league for a long, long time, that is just stupidity. Grade A stupidity.
Pete, how much better is this roster right now than the day that Dave Caldwell took it over?
A lot. But you can understand where the fans would say then, well, if the roster's better, why isn't the performance better? I get that. But I think this whole thing, and this team is going to be better as the season moves along.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
you saw they were
like
better.
Six rookies on offense.
And somebody asked me the other day, they're worse than the Raiders. And I said, well, the Raiders got blown out by Miami. This team has lost to Indianapolis, which is
a good team.
Yep. Lost to the Eagles, which is a good team.
We're
and lost
offense,
to the Chargers, which is a good team.
In my opinion, the Chargers are the third best team in the AFC.
Behind Denver?
In Cincinnati.
You might be right.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers could be undefeated right now. They're that close to being undefeated.
They're the third best team.
Baltimore's playing pretty good football right now. But I would agree. New England? No?
You're telling me. San Diego's tougher.
San Diego's tough. New England's pretty tough, too, though. Now.
Phillip's better than Tom right now. And has better weapons.
Well, he has better weapons. I don't know if he's better.
Overall, their passing game's better.
Right. Yeah, I would say that. But when you compare this team and what's happened to it, which game were they supposed to win? Just out of curiosity. I mean, yeah, they could have been more competitive, but which game?
The Redskins, the one that, looking back, I'm not saying that they should have won, but that was a game that should have been closer.
Closer. I'll give you that. But second game of a back-to-back road trip.
Oh, I know. You called that the whole time.
Yeah, that's tough. Mm-hmm. So
the other thing that is stupid.
The regime. Can I give fire the regime and fire the coaches.
The other thing is.
Okay, go ahead. I've got a point after that.
Oh, go ahead.
At what point does that start happening?
Though? Midway through next season.
Okay.
I would agree with you 100%.
If this team is not winning midway through next season, then it's an issue, and then you could see heads roll. But they deserve the fairness of having year three be what decides who they are and who this football team is.
What is are the outcomes any different if Blake Bortles starts all every game?
No.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But they would have been in the games. I just think he's one of those guys. You know these guys. They somehow they bring the defense. Took the field and played. That was a good offense they played yesterday. Never and early in that game, they took the field, and it looked like they took the field knowing, well, now we might have a quarterback that can actually do something on that side of the football. I'm not saying that's what it was, but that's what it looked like when you watched it on TV.
I don't disagree. I bet defense came out and played very well.
There you have it. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. When we come back, your calls. We'll talk defense. We'll talk Bortles. You want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video board? Just use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be part of the game experience. The Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnik family of dealerships. Jaguars Monday continues after these words on Jaguars Radio.
We understand winning is important. I never shy away from saying, hey, Gus, do you want to win? Yeah, we all want to win. But I think the dangerous thing for us, especially with the young team, is, okay, well, how do we win? How do we win? And the challenge for our guys is to just be your best and get better every week. Get better every week and let's get everybody to be their best and trust that will come. But if they start thinking about wins and losses, that's when it gets all followed up.
There's Gus Bradley earlier today.
I'm telling you, JP, that's the most animated I've heard.
How do you hear that?
I'm just telling you right now, you are wrong. I'm disappointed in your assessment.
He didn't disagree with you.
Yeah, he did.
What are you talking about?
He did.
This is not a face-off.
Tony's
next
hour. He's like Steve Smith creating something that's not there.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Hey, it worked out for him, though.
You're going to go for one touchdown. 30 and two touchdowns. Yeah,
he had a fluke 60-yard touchdown.
Just stop.
Did you see it?
No.
So what's your point, Tony?
I just think that's the most animated I've heard. Gus Bradley. I mean, he is... Listen, Gus believes, which I do too, that if you focus on the process and teach guys about the process of how to be better. If I look at what made me successful in this league.
Talent.
No, yeah, but everyone has to have talent, Pete. It's dedicating yourself to the process of being the best player you can. And then when you get on the field, you can let it go and it takes care of itself. I wanted to win as much as anybody. And sometimes when you focus on just the end result too much, which I was guilty of, you forget it's the process that gives you the ability. I remember Tom always used to say, and he used to drive me crazy because a lot of things he said drove me crazy, but now I look back, he was dead right. He says, you have to earn the right to win. And I'd be like, oh, gosh, here we go again. I mean, there's just like, because, you know, he was Mr. Quote.
Oh, yeah.
Tom was Mr. Quote. He had more quotes. I'm telling you what, there would be a speech, and there would be 10 quotes in one message.
See, most of the quotes he had for me were usually laced with some Gus words.
But my point is, but I used to think about that. What do you mean you earn the right to win? Now, what that means is you go out, and if you trust in the process, and you go work hard, and you work to get better, and you work on your craft as an offensive lineman, you work on your pass sets, your jump set, your short set, you know, deeper set, your hand placement. You work on all that stuff. So then you come game day, and I line up, and I got a wide six, and the game's on the line. I'm not worried about it because I've already done the work to go out there and let it go now and go block the guy.
Yeah, I agree. You have to do the work and let the process go and believe in what you're doing.
And that's what
Gus
is saying.
Off.
That's exactly what Gus is saying.
But he was angry today.
He was. I love it.
I think it's anger, frustration. I think the anger is if you drill this into these guys so much and then they go out and don't do what you just drilled into them, then it's not a physical thing. Then it becomes
Let me ask you a question. And this is us. I mean, this is...
No, this is us and our listeners. Go ahead.
This is media.
Okay.
What if that's... At sometimes it's the best a guy can do. What if that is the ultimate... That's the talent level of the...
Well, then you cut him like you did with Winston Guy.
Right.
Yeah, well, you bring another guy in, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But that whole process is part of... I mean, I think that can be...
But it takes time to figure out he doesn't have that level.
It takes time. Right. And when you're in the situation at Dave and Gus and everyone, it's a fishbowl and everyone's out there pounding, throwing stuff and saying things and everything else, and you're working the process and you're getting beat on these questions after a tough loss and this and that and everything else, and you're seeing progress, but it's not resulting to what everyone else can see, I think there's a level of frustration that comes in because there's a gap right now. There's a gap at the level of where results will come and wins will happen and where they are in the process. And I think Gus sees, and he wants it better, and he wants him to be able to trust him more, but he sees the progress being made and knows there's still a gap to fill, but the fans and everyone else want the wins now. People want to win.
Real quick, and I'm going to throw this out there, and I think we have to break in a second.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But I want to throw this out there.
Throw it.
Hit us.
You're not a very good athlete. You can't throw very far.
I just threw it right in your face. But if, and I spilled it right there with your drink. If we hear so much about them wanting to be like Seattle, okay? Winston Guy, they saw a physical safety that once was a linebacker, supposedly could be a thumper in the run game and everything else, Cam Chancellor, right? Well, do you have to veer off that at some point and say, this team isn't going to be Seattle because they're not going to have a manage-the-game quarterback to build their franchise around. They're going to have what it looks like could be a Matt Ryan or a Luck or a Roethlisberger or somebody that can – that's what – you don't build around the defense. You're building the – to me – and I know
I have a question for
Dave comes from the Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, where they built around that quarterback. You build around the quarterback. This team now is not about what you do. Not copy Seattle's defense. You copy the teams that have the franchise quarterback.
The problem is Seattle's won the Super Bowl last year. What?
So what?
But what if Seattle had that defense with Matt Ryan?
But it's not because you can't, because the salary of the quarterback.
If you draft it right, you can.
For a couple years, you could.
Yeah, but Seattle's going to run in that very soon.
Correct.
Because they're going to have to pay Russell Wilson, whether you think he's a franchise guy or not. They're going to have to pay him to keep him.
Here's why you build around the quarterback, though.
But you wouldn't pay Russell Wilson.
No. I might, depending on what else. Yeah, I probably would, because that's who their guy is. I don't think he's as good as some of the other people think he is. But here's the other thing. If you have that guy, the it guy, it's sustainable for the next decade. And then you could take your... You're better off having the it guy than having Seattle's defense.
I got a question for you along those lines. In the Seattle defense, are they a great defense? Because in the old days, it was about the pass rush. Or are they a great defense because they can lock you down in the secondary with that those coverage guys and allow the rush to get there?
Probably a little of both.
I mean, because...
And their linebackers can fly.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of their back seven is really good.
I still think they're beatable if you don't get the pass rush, though. But your pass rush is still first and foremost the most important.
But Richard Sherman is a stud.
Yeah. But
that free safety, Earl Thomas.
But here's the other thing about the defensive teams, real quick before you break.
Yes.
Everything has to go the right way for them all the time. If they get behind by 10, they're in problems.
Oh, it's hard.
You can't fumble. You can't turn it over. Whereas an offensive team that you build around the offense, if they get down 10, like Denver did in Seattle, they can go right back and go get the points. So that's why it makes all the sense in the world to build around that kid.
Oh, well, you're going to.
But change the model.
But I think they would. I disagree.
You don't think the model's been built after Seattle? You don't
No, Pete. Did you look at the draft this year?
Well, this is. But I'm saying the defensive guys they brought in. Do you think they're building Seattle's defense?
No, they're going young.
Following the model.
No,
of Seattle?
I disagree. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to build a defense that can hold them over and build a great offense with a lot of young players. They know it's going to take time. I mean, my goodness, if Blake Bortles is who we think he is, and Allen Robinson, Mark Kiesley, and Allen Hurns, those are your three.
Next year, you should be an offensive.
That's my point. Those are your three receivers of the future. Got to go get a tight end.
The next year's the offensive year. Got a break.
Yeah, we got a break on this one. Yeah, we have to. Helmets and Heels tomorrow night on 1010 XL. Jessica Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags and the NFL from their unique and strictly feminine perspective tomorrow at 7. 1010 XL 92.5 FM. We will get to the phone lines in just a moment. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Hello. Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick with Pete Briscoe and Tony Baselli. Glad you're with us. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to the phone lines. Chris on the west side wants to talk about Gus Bradley and the press.
What's here up, we go. Chris?
Hey, guys. I just got done earlier this afternoon watching the press conference. I got all fired up, but I noticed a problem. I think media got caught up in a little bit of that as well, because at the end of that press conference, I saw one of the guys giving Gus Bradley a spirited high five, and I'm asking myself, why are these media types getting so chummy?
It was JP. It's JP.
Who gave him the high five?
I don't remember that.
Who gave him the high five? Call him out. I want to hear the name.
Yeah, was he short? I don't know his name, but he looked like the dad from Fever Pitch. There's a guy who dyed his hair. It's unnatural black. This old guy. I don't know, man.
Was he short?
All I know is it bothered me on a professional level.
Was he short, kind of fat, balding, Italian?
No. I mean, he was a trim dude. He just looked kind of old and had natural black hair.
Was he tall? Can't say sport coat.
First of all, you can't jump on that. You can't jump on that. Was my move.
Pull it up.
Oh yeah, it's archived. Jaguars.com.
I want to see it.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. Were you really chummy with Tom? You like that?
That'll make you laugh.
There was a respect between the two of them.
Yeah,
but they weren't chummy.
No,
there was yelling matches. It was great. I loved it.
I miss those.
You were a better journalist back then than you are now.
What are you talking about?
You were in the trenches. Now you're like, you know, in this ivory tower,
national writer.
Right. You really don't you don't dig deep and work for the stories anymore.
No,
you write fluff stuff.
I don't write fluff stuff. I write football stuff, but. But
no, you're fluff piece.
Well, I mean, I need deep throw like you were on every team in the league.
It's tough to find sources.
It is. No, I got them. But
yeah, trust me, he has them.
I just, you know, sometimes I miss that locker room crap you took.
And we had fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
I used to build a boundary, and it was the no Pete Prisco zone. He couldn't come in.
We should do that over here.
You couldn't talk to the O line.
Yeah. You know what else?
Banned from the O line.
It's a weird dynamic in this city, JP, because there's only one newspaper.
Right.
So when you're the only guy, what you're writing, like Ryan O'Halloran right now, whatever you write, that's what people see. And
Ryan does a good job.
He does. This was before the internet. So
people actually read the paper.
They read the paper. Yeah, back in the day, they read the paper.
Wow.
And they give out clips, and then, you know, Tom would complain about
something. Oh, it was great.
A B or a C or whatever. Because I grade. That was another thing that used to infuriate those guys. I graded every. I graded every unit. And I graded like pass game, run game.
Right.
But there was a separate grade for the offensive line. So they used to get so mad at
him. Doesn't know if it's puffed or stuffed. And he's grading us.
Right immediately, too, without even watching
it. It was back when there was no coach's tape.
Nothing.
So he'd like sit in the press box and grade us. I'm like, Pete, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if you could see that it was a bad day, you couldn't individually grade people.
Right, but you really didn't know it was a high level.
No,
you were
right.
Guessing a little bit.
I was guessing a little bit, but if you give up 8 sacks, I could tell it was a bad day.
Yeah,
and so then the next day, one day in Oakland, I'm walking up after the game, and Leon Searcy, who would have just grabbed my head and choked me to death, he goes, I ain't going to say anything to you with your grades. You're not giving us a grade this week. I go, yes, I am, Leon. I love Leon.
That was great. All right, let's go more calls.
Yeah, more calls. Let's get them going.
Eric on the south side talking about fan support. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
All right, so I don't know the exact year, but since AFC South started, we haven't won the division title. In the past 3 and so years, we're 11-51 to date. I'm still a season ticket holder, but I'll tell you what, 1.5 more years of this crap, and I'm not going to be able to do it. I can't. That defense, when I watched it Sunday, It just makes me want to sit there in my living room and cry. They're so bad. I feel like they're a Division II team.
A Division II team? Wow.
Yeah. That's harsh. Where do you stand on this, Tony? I mean, these fans, I mean, a guy like this.
Right. 11-52 is not very good.
No.
Listen, and Eric spent his hard earned money. He has a right to be frustrated. I'm fine with that. Yeah. I think everyone's frustrated.
Look, fans pay their money. They can say whatever. I mean,
no, I mean, that was a fair call. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, whatever reason. I mean, not just a fan. I'm talking Like, Geno Smith got mad yesterday at a fan because he cursed at him. Now, if you...
Some of the things fans said to me...
They're bad. They're bad.
I once in Washington was coming off the FedEx field, and what a fan said to me about my wife was I just looked at him and I said, you are one vile... I wanted to go up and just beat the...
Yeah, they're bad. I mean, who says that to another
human being?
You can't... Like, Geno made a mistake by... Because they made an issue by saying something back to him. As much as you feel like you want to, you can't. You just can't, Tony.
Oh, you can, though, sometimes.
Well, you can say something back.
Yeah, some good... Brant Boyer.
Yeah, but nowadays
he had some great lines.
But nowadays you can't, though.
What he said, I mean, it was great lines.
But it'd be on...
Oh, it'd be out there.
You can't do it anymore.
Which is... Yeah, whatever. Let's keep going.
Calvin on the north side talking defense. What's up, Calvin?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing tonight?
Great, you?
Just a couple of points I want to make. I kind of feel like the Chris Clemens, Red Bryant acquisition is not doing whatever it was designed to do, and I almost felt like he brought him in to maybe kind of gel the defense, maybe be a leader. I don't see that, which leads me to the second point.
Okay.
Who was the last true leader on defense that we had that was the voice of the defense that would energize the defense?
Thanks for the call. Good question.
Linebacker. I can't even think of his.
Puz Lozny?
No. Well, Puz is a leader, yeah. But I'm thinking. I think he's talking before this group. Daryl Smith was a leader, and Mike Peterson.
I think Cipriano will end up being the leader.
I do too. And let me say something about him, about both Clem and Red Bryant.
Yeah, let's start with that.
So Red Bryant, I thought for three quarters played pretty good football. There was a couple plays, and so overall I thought Red played pretty good. There was a couple plays I was like, it wasn't so good, but I thought Red played hard for most of the game. I thought Clem was just okay. I think he played hard. I thought he played better than he played better this week than he did the week before. And you know, do you expect more out of him? Sure, but he was solid. It wasn't like he's bad. It's not like he's dogging it out there. He plays hard. Has he had his best stretch of four games? No. But he's playing hard. He had a bad game, I thought, a week ago. It wasn't his best. I thought he played better this week. And I think he gives solid and good effort.
Who? Clemens?
Yeah.
The thing is, you're getting a 31-year-old pass rusher.
That's right.
Who is coming a year removed from a knee injury. So it's not like you're getting Chris Clemens in his prime. So,
and let me say this about I thought the front four played well yesterday. Sure, there's things they can clean up, but I thought they played well. A lot of sacks in this league are sacks because you cover on the back half.
Right. And Rivers is a hard, as immobile as he is, he's a hard guy to sack because we haven't even talked about that.
That guy.
He knows how to move around the pocket.
No doubt about that.
Smart.
Proved it. Proved it yesterday for sure. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars. Jeff Logg went on there today from earlier. Gus Bradley's full press conference is posted on Jaguars.com as well. Hour two of Jaguars Monday coming up after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
It's no different than our fan base. Hey, Gus, our fans are, I mean, they're upset. Good. We got some fire, man. We want that in our fan base. We want them to be, you know, have some fire and feel the pain. So do we. And I hope it hurts because, you know, that's how you get things done.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today, his day after press conference.
Up.
He certainly was. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
Hey, good for him.
I'm with it.
Jags are 0-4, and the Pittsburgh Steelers come in this week. This is a stretch of games, guys. I mean, what do you think, Pete? Stretch of games coming up, four games, three of them at home against teams who aren't playing great football.
Pittsburgh's average is the day is long.
And they're banged up as heck on defense. I mean, Tampa Bay did what they wanted to them.
Now they got a quarterback who's pretty good, and they got a running back who's real good, and the offensive line's playing better. And they got Antonio Brown. I mean, they got some weapons on offense.
But the defense is, I mean, very no Jarvis Jones.
Very average.
Jason Worlds, they paid him a boatload of money. He hasn't dropped the quarterback once since this season. He's supposed to be the elite pass rusher. They have problems. Paul Mall's old. No Ike Taylor. They got problems.
Yeah, sounds like they got some problems for sure.
No Shazier, who's playing good for them as a rookie. And they're having a lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes, too. Jacksonville, would it shock you if they won that game?
No, not at all.
Me either. And 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you probably would have said that's crazy, particularly after what Pittsburgh did to Carolina when they went in there and pushed them around.
Yeah, they sure.
Now Carolina has given up 75 points in 2 weeks.
Yeah, not very good.
Jaguars offense. Let's dig into this offensive line a little bit.
All right. Dig away.
A lot of people were on the left side of the offensive line the last couple of weeks. How did they play overall in this game? Jokel, Beatles, up to Boyinko.
I thought the offensive line got better this week. I thought Zane played better.
Yeah.
I thought it was his best performance. Listen, I'm a big. I think Luke Jokel is going to be a really good player. Is he playing at a real high level right now? No, he's not playing at the level he can. But I think he is a natural athlete with great feet, and I think there's just some little things that he can tweak and do better that are going to make a huge difference because he is so athletic. And I think a lot of it's between the ears of just the confidence and the reps and the comfort of being out on an island by yourself. And that's what they're going to ask him to do. And I think he has all the ability to do it, and I think he's going to be very good. And then Blanco, listen, I thought it was a lot of good, some bad. He is a guy who is so athletic. He's great at the next level. The way he climbs, gets on guys, he can reach a one technique, which is a shaded nose. His weakness right now is his body strength. And we all knew that. He's a guy you draft in the fifth round, and a guy that you say, if we can get a good offseason in with his frame and his athletic ability, watch out. And so there's times he's a little soft in the pocket and he gets pushed back a little bit.
So a big physical nose on his nose would present a problem for him.
In the run, he's going to reach him. But one-on-one pass, the pocket gets a little soft at times and he gets bounced around, especially in games. So when they run a game of twists and if the penetrator's coming and gets him on an edge, he gets bounced around a little bit where a more stout guy can recover and get over the top.
Kind of like Wydell back in the day.
Blanco,
got Blanco him for a second.
Blanco's a little more athletic.
Dave used to love me. I love Dave.
Dave, hey, we won a lot of games at David Center.
Yeah, but that's been a position. If you could solidify that position with a fifth round pick, that's a hit.
The third round pick is playing at the highest level, in my opinion, of all five.
Linder at right guard.
I think he's a good football player. And Sam Young played good, you said yesterday.
He was really solid. I mean, he was. And so Gus talks about trust. Mm-hmm. He played a game where you say, well, okay, we can trust him at right tackle.
Good enough that he might stay there or no? Well, I mean.
I'll say this, good enough. He played good enough 2 weeks ago when they played Indy that they allowed Austin another week to rest his hand and get his hand healthy.
And Pastor might have a chance to come back this week. They'll see if they can get a different looking
thing
in his hand.
I think what you do, because Sam has earned the trust in what he's been able to do, that you make sure Austin's hand's ready. Instead of if you were really struggling, I mean, if you didn't have Sam and the performance of Cam a couple weeks ago, you're like, listen, we need Austin, you know, let's get
okay.
him in there.
If Sam Young could play right tackle and Austin Pasdar was a guard at one point, and I'm thinking big picture down the road, could he possibly play guard down the road?
Yeah, I think so. He's a powerful guy.
I'm just asking. Why are you making me laugh over there?
I don't know. You're looking at me.
Well, I mean,
I still think Austin's.
What are you asking for?
I'm asking that maybe he could play left guard down the road.
I still think Austin is probably.
I'm not sugarcoat it. They need a left guard.
I think he's probably a little better than Sam Young right now at right tackle. If you put all the body of work together.
Okay. So,
but I thought Sam played a good game.
Can Sam play left guard?
No, he's too tall. He's a long individual. Right. He's a right tackle. Right. That's his one position on the field, I think, is right tackle.
Then the question would become, would the line be better down the road? And I'm not saying right now, down the road, with Sam Young at right tackle and Pasdar at left guard rather than Pasdar at right tackle and Beatles at left guard. Just a thought. Just throwing it out there.
You threw it out there.
It got thrown.
I would say this.
It's getting thrown. It's going right over his head. Here's an offensive lineman. I'm asking a question.
Yeah, I would say right now, I would not make that change.
Okay. How about for the future? Maybe.
Right now, I would not make that change.
All right.
Oh.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
You brought Beatles in. I thought Beatles got better. from 2 weeks ago. And if he continues on the trajectory that he took from last week to this week and gets better this week, then I think you got a solid guy at left guard.
Let's stay on this, somewhat of this topic. Offensive line helps the run game a little bit. Ran the ball a bit better overall this week. Gerhardt had a few more yards. Denard Robinson was worked into the run game this week. Did it get a little better for you, Tony?
Denard had more offensive plays than Toby did.
Yes.
Like 36-21.
Well, you fumble the first play. That'll happen, right?
Well, I think the plan from the beginning, fumble or not, was to get Denard a lot of reps.
Okay.
Denard has a lot of juice.
Right.
Denard still is not a natural running back. Denard still needs to learn how to finish runs. I think he runs a little too high still.
Okay.
He needs to get his pad level down.
He goes down pretty easy.
That's what I'm saying. If he gets his pad level down lower, he'll be able to finish runs and I think break some more tackles.
A lot of folks on Gerhardt right now. Is that fair?
He's kind of is what he is. I mean, I was not one of those guys that thought Toby Gerhardt was coming in here and rushing for 1,400 yards or 1,200 yards. I just wasn't. That's not my style back. It never has been. It never will be. And it shouldn't be anymore moving forward. That's just not who you play with nowadays. The good backs nowadays, they can take it 30 yards. Toby Gerhardt's not taking it 30 yards unless you have a huge hole. And I sent out a bunch of tweets last week with pictures of Toby Gerhardt missing holes. He stretched the play one time. You remember the play. He stretched it wide to the left, and all he had to do was cut off the back to the inside. There were big holes in there. On another play, I put red line, right line. I mean, yellow line. I said he took the red one. He cut it off the guards behind, and you got to – it's not going to be a 20-yard gain, but it's going to be a 6-7-yard gain. I just think it takes him a long time to get to the line of scrimmage, and I don't think he has a real natural feel of a natural runner. That's just me. I mean, maybe I'm being hard on the guy. But I'd play Denard Robinson. I'd see if Storm Johnson knows how to pick up a blitz at some point in his life, if he could teach him how to do that, and I'd play him some too. I like speed in the backfield. It's an air game. It's a speed air game. Yep. Get some speed and air in there.
And that's why Denard's playing more.
But to defend their stance on it, they needed a body. They needed a back. And it didn't cost them a boatload of money. And if you had to, you could get rid of them down the road.
Denard and Toby on the field at the same time a little bit yesterday. You like
that?
Yeah,
that gives you a little bit.
Gives Jed a little bit some options.
Right? It gives you more option running the ball from the fullback position. I mean, Toby's a better runner than Will Tafoe, but I think you lose something in the power game as far as a lead blocker, because I think Will Tafoe is one of the better lead blockers at the fullback position.
Toby is like Mike Alstott used to be back in the day, and that's not what the league's about anymore. It's just not that's not what the league is about anymore. So that, and I'm not killing Toby, because I think Toby works at it. He loves the game. I mean, but I just think you need wiggle. It's a wiggle league. I mean, you block for one of the great wiggle go backs that they're, you know, just go cut the get the.
I mean,
whole.
I'll push back a little bit. Is Alfred Morris a wiggle back?
But they ski.
He's pretty dang good.
Yeah, but they
hesitated.
I don't know.
I got him.
But he's a lot quicker. He's a lot quicker to the hole than Toby Gerhardt.
I'm just asking. Is he a
wiggle
back?
No, he's not a
wiggle
back.
He's a downhill and punish you. He's a good back.
But he can take it 25 yards.
Oh, he's got a burst. But he's a good back.
He's a good back. But for the most part, it's a.
Is Matt Forte a wiggle back?
Yes, he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
No. He's not a wiggle back though.
But
he's a downhill slasher.
Well, he's not a pounder. He's not a pounder by any stretch.
He's a big back though.
But he's not a pounder. You get him in space. You get him some big runs.
Great receiver. Out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's a good receiver out of the backfield. But Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, I mean, those are the guys. Now, there are the teams that play with Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch is
Gore,
not a wiggle.
And Gore. But
AP,
that's who those teams are.
Adrian Peterson.
He had a little wiggle to him.
Doesn't got anything right now.
No. So he sent a text to the coaches and got the team all riled up yesterday, though, for their big win.
What's going to happen with him?
God knows.
Mm. It's amazing how quick has changed, you know?
And how about how quick you forget about him? And that's what I tell every
the story.
I talk any player who listens, this league is going to go on, and when you're done, it's over. And they're going to move on, and they're going to play on Sundays, and they're not going to think about you.
Without naming names in my business, there are people in my business that think they're above the game too, and I tell them all the time, say the same thing. I said, hey, dude, when you're done, or if you can't go to a game, they're not going to hold the game up for you.
Well, here's a perfect example. Who was the great – I can't believe I can't think of his name – the great writer for the LA Times all those years? Jim
Murray.
Murray. Great writer.
Right.
They still write the paper. I mean, it just keeps going. And that's how this world works.
Dr. Z was considered Mr. Football in his day. He got sick, God forbid, but game still goes on. Everybody's replaceable. That's the bottom
exactly
line.
That's exactly right.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. James in Arlington on the line wants to talk defense.
You're very replaceable. I'm like right now.
What's up, James?
Hello?
How are you there? What's up?
How are you doing?
Doing well. What you got for us?
Ellie, I'm glad to hear you're on 10-Ticken XL now.
Thank you, sir.
You're not glad to hear that
very
I am?
Much, because I loved you as a player.
Wait, you're not glad that I am?
Oh, yeah, well, you too. I don't know you that much.
Oh, you do.
You're replaceable, Pete.
I'm replaceable.
Pacelli, though.
Yeah, you're not missing much with Pete. Don't worry about it.
Pacelli was a nasty player.
Yes, he was.
Oh, he's still nasty. You know,
he's still nasty.
It don't matter. I mean, that's what Jacksonville needs, is to get nasty.
All right.
I don't care what anybody says. They need to get nasty like the old Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
They're pretty nasty.
You don't play anymore.
They didn't care how many penalties they got, but they won football games and Super Bowls.
They had Hall of Famers on those
teams. Didn't they used to hang out with the Hells Angels, too?
It is a different
You can't play that way anymore, though. You get suspended, you get fined, you get everything else. He's harkening back to yesteryear.
Wow. Kenny Stabler is going to show up.
They had about 10 Hall of Famers on those teams and used to keep them for a while.
Well, there was no free agency. There's nowhere to go.
The left side of the line was Gene Upshaw and Art Shell.
Pretty good.
Not bad. Saqib, south side, talking defense. What's up, Saqib?
What's up, boys?
How are you?
My favorite guys, right? Hey, let me ask you guys something about them. Can you explain to me, because I'm not understanding really well, Gus has been the coach for 20 games right now, okay? 4 wins. Can you explain to me why are we allowing this many points in this last 20 games since he's been the coach and he's supposed to be a defensive guy?
Well, there's a question for you, Tony. It's a broad question.
They're not, I mean, they haven't played very well. In the back half of the last 8 games, they played much better.
Young defense.
Got a lot of young guys, and you tried to plug in some free agents, and I think the front four are playing much better than they did last year. Overall, I thought they played well this past week. You got a lot of young guys in the secondary. And listen, they've turned this roster over completely. There's 11 guys left from pre-Dave Caldwell. I think that's the right number, JP, isn't it?
That's about right, yes.
But, and I'm going to butt you right here.
Here we go.
Before the season started, you thought the defense would be feisty.
No, they're not playing well right now. So I take it as a 4-game sample size, not last year.
Right, right.
That's my point. Right now, no.
All the moves are made in the offseason. And one thing, people thought that the defense would keep them in games and be feisty, and that hasn't happened. And I watch every game. They've had more busts on defense than any team in the league. And I don't even think it's close. I'm talking about wide-open busts.
And that's a fair – listen, to Saqib's point, I think it's fair to look at these 4 games like this defense is not meeting the expectations of anybody. And I think if you were in a meeting with the coaches, they would say the same thing. Hence, several moves being made on the defensive side of the ball.
Speaking of those moves real quick, how'd they work out?
Evans at safety and JT Thomas at auto.
It looked like he struggled. Evans struggled a little bit.
Well, listen, I think Evans is – I get the sense he's more of he's a very good tackler, and I think he tackled well. I don't know if he's a center field, run, chase down, cover a lot of field type of player.
Like Weddle.
I think he's more of a near the line of scrimmage, physical presence, very good open field tackler.
This team needs to find a Weddle.
He's a good player.
Need to find a Weddle.
Didn't they try to sign him a couple of years ago?
How'd the linebacker play when he went in?
Well, San Diego was in so much 3 wides. They were in sub almost the entire game. So he wasn't out there a lot.
That move surprised you a little bit, JT Thomas going in there?
No, I think that auto position, the Sam linebacker, wasn't playing very well.
Yeah. Take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. Got to mention the Jags rookie class will visit the Jacksonville Ronald McDonald House tomorrow to help feed and play games with families that are staying there while children are being treated at Wolfson Children's Hospital. We'll have a story coming up later this week on Jaguars.com. The rookies will serve dinner to families tomorrow night. Good group of guys going over there tomorrow. The Copy Fax Face-Off is coming up next. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneneAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Join the biggest, boldest, and best party in Jacksonville Saturday, October 4th, 8 p.m. as the Jags and the Roar unveil the 2014 swimsuit calendar live on the all-new Clevelander deck at Everbank Field. Get your party pass for only $15. It includes free parking, live music, meet and greets with the Roar, and an open bar on the deck until 9 p.m. Visit Clevelander.wanttickets.com. Get your ticket to Jacksonville's hottest party, 21 and over only. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli. We go back to the phone line. We had a call earlier. You know, remember the caller that asked about the writer who high-fived Gus Bradley at the end of the press conference?
Who was
today,
it?
Right? Mark Long of the Associated Press is on the line. Mark, that was you, right?
Well, yeah. Why am I getting called out for that?
Because aren't you? Aren't you in the media? Aren't you not supposed to be a fan and high five coaches? I mean, that's what Pete. That's what Pete told me. Pete told me it was unprofessional.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
People, players, and coaches treat them like people. And I'm not mucking it up with the guy, but he's a good dude. And I had just taken a shot at him. By the way, that was what the guy didn't know. I took a pretty good shot at him at the end of the press conference regarding Winston Guy, and so I was just going up to say, oh man, sorry, you know, kind of almost half apologetic for taking the shot on air like that, alive.
Nice journalist. He's a nice guy journalist, Mark.
Hey, did you ask for his autograph after you gave him a high five?
Oh my God. No, you know what? The only autograph I need is yours.
Mark, anytime you can have it.
Well done.
It wouldn't be worth that much. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
He's on the ballot.
High five me. Give me a high five.
As long as Sam is pushing him, he's never getting there.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
Mark taking shots.
Because we in front of that room, it'll be about Sam's playing game, not about Tony.
Oh, guns are blazing.
Yeah. Right now. Let's finish the show with this.
Mark must have been at the pub something.
Seriously. What's going on in Gainesville tonight? Good night, alive.
Ooh-wee.
Holy shit. I just wanted to liven up the show a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. Right. Sam is a fellow Jaguar reporter here. We do the pregame show, so Sam does a good job.
Mark? Yeah, well, you guys are doing a great job tonight. I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Well, I'll high-five you tomorrow.
All right,
guys. Mark Long joining us from the Associated Press, answering the critics and coming out guns a-blazing.
That was a little uncalled for, wasn't it? Whew.
Man, that was – nobody asked for that either.
I like Sammy K.
Man. Well, there you go.
Sammy K and I do the pregame together. You know, every 11:30, me, Sammy K, and Logs.
That's right.
How long are you on for?
Half hour, 11:30 to 12.
30 to 12, then Jeff the national show takes
over.
Yeah,
Jeff does the first half, and I do the second half.
There you go. It is time now, boys. Sorry to interrupt this conversation.
I was shocked at my guy.
That was bold.
Yeah.
That was very bold.
I take it, you know.
Blame me for taking it in that direction if you want.
I mean, the way I look at it, you know, we're a team here with the Jaguars, media partners.
That's right.
You know, that's our guy. Can't take a shot at my guy.
Pete's not on the team.
No, he is. He's in the show.
Technically.
But yeah. I'm not on team.
I don't let people take shots at you. You're a part of the group.
You can take shots at me all you want.
I take shots at you, but I don't let other people. It's like family.
No, you can take shots at me. I don't care.
Speaking of taking shots, it's time for the Copy Fax Face-Off. Pete Prisco is 3-1 on the year over Tony Buscelli.
By the way, I really don't want to win this one because I don't want to hear that fight song after 62-27 last Thursday.
You guys got embarrassed.
Oh, bad. We play you this week.
We're going to boat race you, too.
I think you might. ASU.
Is the game in ASU this week?
No, it's in
no chance.
Should we double or nothing?
No. I don't think ASU's going to beat them.
Oh, okay.
ASU stinks. They always stink.
Pete wants them to cheat.
Like USC did in the heyday. Okay. They never did that in the heyday.
Never.
The topic tonight. The Dallas Cowboys were a big winner last night. On a Sunday Night Football, 38-17, speaking of boat races, ran away from the Saints last night.
Domination.
The Cowboys are, 3-1 now?
Yeah.
But is this Cowboys team sustainable for the long haul, and will they be in this race?
Yes. They are 3-1. They're tied for the NFC East. Everyone got on the Eagles bandwagon way too quick. Are they a good team? Yes, but so are the Dallas Cowboys, and I think the Giants, with that offense, the way they're playing, I think it's a three-team race, and I think the Dallas Cowboys will be there at the end, and for one major reason. Everyone talks about their defense not being great. It was way overblown. They said they were going to be the historically worst defense in the history of mankind. Are they great? No. But they're good enough in the NFC East to be there at the end, and they're very well coached with Rod Marinelli. He's an outstanding defensive coordinator. And on the offensive side of the ball, the Dallas Cowboys have the best offensive line in football. In a era where if you can control the line of scrimmage, protect the quarterback, and run the ball with DeMarco Murray, who, if he stays healthy, is an explosive back, the air type of back that Pete talks about, they are going to score points, and they are going to have a 1-2 punch, run and pass, and that offensive line can do it all. And give Jerry Jones credit. For two years in a row, he got criticized heavily for taking offensive linemen in the first round. He took Fredericks, the center, and everyone killed him of why you're reaching for this guy at center. And then they took Martin as a guard, right guard, this year. Again, some question marks. And now he has Tyrone Smith, the best left tackle, who, by the way, went to USC, in football, only 23, 24 years old. He has a good, solid left guard, a stud center in the second-year player, a rookie right guard who's playing very well, and Martin, Doug Freed, who's getting better because of the guys around you, Tony Romo, Dez Bryant. He has weapons outside, DeMarco Murray. These guys are going to score points, and there's not a defensive line, not one in football, who can push them around or intimidate that offensive line. And because of that, they'll be there in the end.
All right, having said all that.
That was long.
Sorry. I just passionate about
name the four Cowboys defensive players for the Dallas Cowboys. Four. I want four from you.
I got one. Jeremy.
No, Mitchell. No, no. You can't.
Sandrick.
For Scandrick, but go ahead.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. Go ahead.
That doesn't even count. You can't even his name right.
No, he got the right. I give him the credit for the guy.
McClain. Ronaldo McClain.
Orlando McClain. But
yeah, same thing. Alabama. Yeah,
okay.
Alabama.
I'll give him credit enough for that.
That's 0 for 2, by the way.
No, he's. I'm giving him credit. No, I'm okay, anyway, messing the names up, but he's getting credit for who they are. I just want to see if he knows who they are.
It's taking a while.
Is the old Jaguar safety still there?
No. Gerald Sensabaugh.
Yeah, Sensabaugh. Claiborne, but he just got hurt.
Yeah, he can't count him.
Ken Norton
Jr. doesn't play anymore.
They got one of the Chiefs corners.
Yeah. I'll give you half a credit for that.
It's not Flowers. It's the other guy.
Carr. So that's 2.5.
That's and then they still have the nose. He's not there anymore? I can't even think. Their defensive line is...
Well, they signed Melton.
Melton, yeah, from Bears. Yeah, listen, I don't know a lot about their defense, okay, but it doesn't matter.
So, okay, the defense rests. No more questions for the witness, and that's my point.
No, but...
As good as the Dallas Cowboys are on offense, and they are darn good, and you would make a great point about their offensive line, because Tyrone Smith's best left tackle in the league, and has a chance to be truly, truly the next special one. The center's good. The right guard's good. Doug Freeze playing good. They have Jason Witten. He's no longer what he can be in the passing game.
Good
but
enough,
he's a hell of
though.
A blocker. Still good. Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, DeMarco Murray. They're going to score a boatload of points. But boy, oh boy. They got away with it last night. But when you watch them on defense, they're going to be bad.
But here's the
problem. It's not your turn. All season long, they're going to be a bad football team because they won't be able to stop anything. I love watching them. They're my kind of game, my kind of team. I love the offense. I love seeing the ball in the air. They will throw it around, but boy, their defense is going to be bad.
But I'll say this, and I'm going to use Pete's whole argument against them. In a league that is about offense and scoring points, tell me the defense who's going to slow them down. There isn't one, Pete. There's not a front. They can go play Seattle because guess what? That offensive line will be able to protect, push them around. And you're telling me if you give Dez Bryant with Williams on the other side,
we're talking about how great Seattle secondary
hold
is.
Hold on,
going to cover them.
Yeah, but they're not going to be able to cover them that long with Tony Romo back there, and DeMarco Murray will run the ball games. This is a team and where they are average on defense,
average
at best.
You're being nice.
They're playing better than anyone gave them credit for.
Last night they did.
All year they've been playing.
They were down 21-0 to the Rams 2 weeks ago in Austin Davis.
But guess what? That the offense is good enough.
It's a good offense.
And so good they can come back.
Austin Davis. Austin Davis.
I don't care who they
was. Austin Davis.
They did it against Drew Brees, one of your man crush guys.
Yeah, I don't have a man crush.
Oh, yes, you do.
Austin Davis was beating them 21-0.
It goes back to my point. If you can protect and you can run the ball in the NFC East, which is an average division, you're telling me
the Giants are going to win that division.
You're telling me at the end of the year, the Cowboys will not be able to play.
The Giants will win.
The Cowboys will play a game to go to the playoffs in week 16 or 17.
Not the
Eagles.
That's
not what you said. You said they're going to win the division.
No. The question was, will they be in it to the end?
Sustainable? Is it sustainable for the long run?
That's not what you said.
Victory! Play the song, Joe.
You said. You feel sorry for me.
Are they sustainable for the long run?
Sustainable as in what? Be a playoff team.
Well, you take whatever definition you want.
Yeah. Well, look. What he was trying to argue.
Am I right about that, though? Right. Best offensive line in football.
They're darn good. Really good.
Tony
Baltimore's
Romo.
I'll be honest. Baltimore might have the best
offense. And I'll be honest with you. I have no idea who's on that defense. All the guys they used to know are gone.
No. Bruce Carter, he got hurt last night.
And then the middle linebacker, Sean Lee's out.
Wilcox is a safety.
I have no idea.
They're not good.
Who's their defense?
Crawford's a good football player.
Who are their two defensive tackles?
Tyron Crawford plays inside.
Who's the other guy?
He should be playing outside. Melton.
They don't have a pass rush.
They don't. I won the argument, but I'll let him hear it because I don't want
to
hear it.
My whole point was they don't have to be great in that division on defense.
The Giants can win the division. Tom will win the division.
Well, I don't know if the Giants can hold up against that offense.
The Giants will win the division.
They can't cover well enough.
It's bold. Giants winning the division now.
They can't. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie can play in coverage, and Amukamara is a good player.
You're not going to get to Tony Romo.
Look, you won the argument, but the Giants will win the division.
I hope they do. You know, I'm a Giants fan.
The season tally, Prisco 3, Baselli 2 in the copy facts.
You guys felt sorry for me. They didn't want to make it 4-1. You want to keep people in the game.
I won last week. Yes, I did.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We'll go around the National Football League. Phone line still open as well. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
When I see their spirit in that, I say, hey, count me in on this. We'll get this thing right. There's not a doubt in my mind. For some reason, we're going through some of these struggles right now. But it's only to make us stronger. Maybe we got to earn this thing. Maybe we earn the opportunity for victory. And we haven't quite figured that out yet. So let's figure it out and then let's go.
Gus Bradley, earlier today, Jaguars head coach. This is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli.
George Selvey, by the way, also on the Cowboys team. It's 3 ex-Jaguars.
Yeah. How about that?
I just tweeted me that. I knew that, but you don't remember those. You don't remember George Selvey was a Jaguar. He wasn't here that long.
Yeah. He didn't get a lot of – he wasn't here long and didn't get a lot of time here.
But Durant, yeah. Justin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to the around the NFL in just a moment. Rob in Fernandina Beach. Let's talk about offensive play calling. Rob, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Got a question. After listening to Prisco all those years on his own radio show, I realize a quarterback is the start of the game, basically.
Wait a minute. Prisco was on radio before? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was, actually. Okay,
go ahead.
A little bit.
All right.
The fourth and one call, you got 9 guys in the box, single coverage on the outside, single high safety. Why are we trying to run off tackle or up the middle instead of a quick slant? I didn't understand that. I realized that the Chargers made defensive adjustments at the half. Why didn't we make offensive adjustments?
Thank you for the call, Rob.
Is he talking about the third and short?
Can you clarify, Rob?
Yeah, third and short, fourth and short. I mean, we try to run Gerhardt up the middle when we got 9.
Yeah, I get that. But before that play, they were successful 100% on third and short. And they got – I mean, listen, they got stopped, but they were successful up to that point. So, I mean, it's easy. But guess what? I promise you, if they would have thrown the ball there and have been incomplete, and they said, why can't they run the ball on third and less than one? Why aren't they running the ball there? I mean, you can't win if you're – an offensive coordinator of this league if the play doesn't work. They're always going to – I mean, it's easy to sit back.
There are coordinators who are better than others.
No, I agree with that, but I'm saying on that situation. If you throw it there
– on third and one.
And it doesn't work, You're going, why are you running the ball? It was third and less than one.
They were going for it on fourth down.
I know, but it was third and less than one.
And they ran it.
And you run it again.
They ran it again. Me, I would throw in third and one and then come back and run it on fourth and one.
Third and less than a yard. Listen, this is the offensive lineman to me. You stuff it in there. If you can't get 6 inches, you don't deserve the win.
All right, I'm going to give him one from yesterday's game.
Okay.
And I want to see how you feel about it. The Vikings are trailing Atlanta, who's a good offense and have been moving up and down the field the whole game, by two with about 6.5 minutes to go in the game, and had a fourth and goal from the one or half-yard line. What do you do?
How much time left?
About 6.5 minutes.
I kicked the field goal.
Me too. He didn't.
You got to get the point. You got to take the lead.
Of course you do. At home, particularly.
Yeah.
He went for it. Got it. But I disagree with that call.
Yeah, I would have kicked the field goal.
Go take the lead.
Fourth and two is not.
No, it wasn't fourth and two. It was fourth and goal from the one.
Okay. I would still kick it.
Of course. It doesn't matter if it's the one yard.
Yeah, you have the lead.
You have the lead.
You have the lead at home with 6 minutes left in the game.
Right.
Go get one stop.
Right. And it's not like if it was a bad offense, you're thinking might be, well, if we don't make it, then we're pinning them back and they're going to punt it back to us anyways. But Atlanta had gone up and down the field all game on them. Now, they had lost some offensive linemen. So maybe that factored in, but I still kick and get the lead.
I'm surprised. I would have put you as the go for it guy.
No, never. I play the percentage. I'm a field position, play the percentage.
Oh, I'd have kicked it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kick it.
What would you do, JP? Not that we care, but what would you do?
He's younger than
us. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. What was that supposed to be?
No, no.
What'd you ask me then?
I care. You're younger than us. You're younger than us. You probably would have gone for it.
No, I'd have kicked the field goal.
Right.
He's an old soul.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Is question that a mark? Compliment?
I don't know if it is or not.
That's a compliment.
I'm used to getting shots.
So we got
shots
old guy, Tony. Old guy, getting close to being an old guy,
has,
and an old soul.
He has fake body parts, though. So
I'm a young soul.
Yeah.
No, you're not. I'm a young soul, just buried in an old man. You're an old
a
man.
Fat old man.
You're an old man in a fat old man's body. Because you're like the guy that would, even when you were like 21 and you showed up here, you were like a 40-year-old man back then.
What are you talking about?
Like how? Explain this.
Yeah, well, he showed up as 21 and he was married already and he had like kids and stuff on the way.
I didn't have any kids.
Almost on the way. Or
I was in elementary school.
He was like, yeah. Tony, that was the one thing Tom used to say is how mature.
Your kids are like 25 years old now.
Yeah. You're a 40-year-old man when you showed up. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's put it this way. At the time, I was like 35, and you were 21. You were the 40-year-old man more than I was closer to being a 40-year-old. You were always very
I was more mature than you.
Yeah, I don't know if mature is the word. You were just a 40-year-old man when you were 21. So that means, how old are you now?
So you were saying
42.
That makes you a 61-year-old man now.
You're saying he's very boring is what you're saying.
No, it wasn't boring. It was just very set, and you were very mature. But
just like give a compliment, Pete. Just say mature.
It's a compliment, but you're a 40-year-old man.
Or boring.
It's hard to kick it. It's hard for him to get it out.
No, but you know what I'm talking about. You were very, very much a 40-year-old man when you were 20. So now you're 60. You are older than me.
I do feel 60 some days.
Even though next week somebody's having a birthday.
Sunday. Who's this?
How old are you going to be?
Whoa.
54.
You're 50. You are old.
I know.
54?
Yeah.
It's almost over for you.
Let's put it this way.
What's almost
no,
over?
No, it's not. I'm going to live till 95. I'll be sitting on the couch screaming a bad quarterback play in my diapers.
Play the kid, he's going
to
say.
You want to live long enough to have diapers?
Wow. Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Yes, I do. Me. You know why? Because the next day they might say to you, all right, that problem you have that you're in diapers, we just found the cure for it.
Jay and Middleburg, get us out of this conversation.
That's the old Italian way, right, Joe?
Jay and Middleburg.
You're Italian too.
I don't know. It's too old.
Jay and Middleburg, help us out here. Toby Gerhardt, what you got?
First off, man, I just got to say, y'all remind me of me and my boys at a bar drinking, like, and JP's like the designated driver.
You know what? That's a compliment.
I'll take that.
That is a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Man. You want to wear diapers?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, in a heartbeat. Actually, I have a...
What is wrong with you people?
That's just a Friday night.
That means you're living,
that's
man.
That's exactly what I say to my friends.
What you got tonight, Jay? What's up?
Here's a question I have, man. And honestly, kind of wish Loggeman was there, too. But I was noticing with Gerhardt, a lot of the situations he was getting into yesterday, he would end up at the end with his butt facing the end zone, and he was turned completely around. Is that common of running backs? I'm not a running back, so I don't know, but...
Well, I only can think of one where that was the case on the goal
twice.
Line.
I think it was twice, but that's not common.
I'll say this: it did not stand out to me as an issue watching the tape.
No. The issue is getting there quick enough. That's the issue. Okay, look, if nobody else is saying, I'm saying it. You don't have the gear. It's not Toby Gearhart. It's Toby Gerhardt.
But how much of that appears to the ankle that he hurt week one? Maybe.
Yeah, it might have something to do with it.
He didn't have the gear in Minnesota.
He had some explosive runs. He had some long runs. What's his long? Someone look up his longest run.
But when he used to go through them, they were cavernous.
You don't know. I remember he had some big runs and big plays in Minnesota. I mean, everyone's killing Gerhardt. Maybe
I'm not killing him.
Yeah, you are. Sounds maybe like it's his ankle. Maybe he's not 100%. He's out there fighting through it.
And you're the same guy who said, well, what you put on the field is
no, I agree with that, but I'm saying...
Can't have both ways.
I'm not saying I'm making an excuse for him. I'm just saying you...
Okay, I'm going to put you on the
My question is this. Have we not seen a healthy Toby Gerhardt who has the explosive gear to go to the next level?
There is not explosive gear there.
Career-long 67-yard run, by the way.
That's pretty long.
I'm going to...
That's a long run.
It was a long time ago.
2011.
I'm going to ask you this. If Tony Boselli, the general manager who one day would like maybe to be a general manager, like John Elway, if you were building a football team, of back you would pick? Not him, the style of back.
That's a great question. I'll say this. If Todd Gurley, who I've watched at Georgia, is as good as... I mean, because he can run. He has speed. He's a kick returner. I'd sure take him.
You're not comparing. Please, 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 please do not put them in the same sentence. That's an entirely different animal.
No, I'm just saying, but he's a power back.
But he's also got the burst.
Oh, I agree, but he's a power back. Yes. That's my point.
Adrian Peterson's a power back.
Would I take a power back or an air back like LeSean McCoy? Is that your question? I'm trying to figure out what your question is more than anything.
No, you're taking a power back who... takes a long time to get to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, come on, Pete. I'm not going to take a guy who takes a long time to get to the line of scrimmage. My whole question about Gerhardt is what we're seeing a result partly because of a dinged up lower body injury. That's all I'm asking. I'm not making excuses. It's a question.
Of him before his injury was that's not the kind of back that I would put on my team if I was a general manager. I get why they did it. I understand they needed somebody. They needed a
But... Pete, my question is this.
Avoid him.
I answered it. Is there a GM alive that will take Gerhardt off the table for a second? Is there a GM alive that's taken a back that takes a long time to get to the line of scrimmage? I'm asking that.
Back in the
That's a dumb question. That was my point you're asking.
Back in the day, you could get away. Yeah, Tom drafted Ryan Christopherson instead of Terrell Davis.
I might have missed on that one.
Rhino took a long time to get to the line of scrimmage.
Well, he was also a fullback more than anything.
No, he was a little fullback. But back in the day, you could play that way. Nowadays, you can't play that way anymore. It's a different league.
And you have to start the whole... You got to start the whole girly first round conversation. Started. I mean, come on.
I'm not saying
I'd take it back in the first round. No, you don't take it back in the first round.
Say I would. I'm saying, is it a girly type player?
He's a great player. He's a great. I wouldn't pick him.
I wouldn't pick him in the first round either.
None of them.
Want to know what's going on within the Jacksonville Transportation Authority, the award-winning Making Moves television program, in its sixth season of being North Florida's premier source for transportation news, for airtimes and more. Visit jtafla.com. We'll go around the National Football League and wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. Richie Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. It's been an eventful show. We've had a member of the media called out for high five and coaches. We learned a lot about the Hall of Fame voting process tonight during that situation.
That was cold, baby.
Good show tonight so far. Let's go around the National Football League. eventful day yesterday. The let's start with the Ravens. We mentioned Steve Smith earlier. He calls out the Panthers and all this and goes out and has 139 yards and two touchdowns. He did what he said he was going to do, I guess.
Pete, you know, he has as many multi-touchdown games for the Ravens as he does with the Ravens as he does with the Carolina Panthers when Cam Newton was the quarterback.
Well, he was also extra motivated. He was played harder yesterday than he would normally because he was playing his former team.
So, you know, it's overblown.
Of course it is. And he had 61 yards on a deflected pass that he popped out of the sky and ran. That was an accident. So
it's still great theater.
He's great.
Yeah, he's
He's great to be a
He's 35 years old.
Yeah, to listen to and everything. But, I mean, he said, I ran around those guys like I was 30, you know, like they were schoolyard kids or whatever. No. There was a bad throw. And it deflected off the tight end, and he plucked it out of the air and raced for the touchdown because nobody was in front of him. It was an accident. But he did have a touchdown catch.
J.J. Watt had an interception return for a touchdown, about 80 yards. The Texans are now 3-1.
He's really good, by the way.
Yeah, he
just can play. I don't want to, you know, I don't know if that anyone knows that, but he's really good.
I'll make a note of that.
he's the best player in the league who's not a quarterback.
Very fair.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah.
And he might be one of those once-in-a-generation players.
Is that Texans team for real
3-1? No. I sent out a tweet yesterday. They're the worst 3-1 team I've ever seen, except for him. And the whole city.
They're not very good at quarterback.
Well, he stinks. DeAndre Hopkins is a good player. Andre Johnson still can get it done. The offensive line.
Average.
The running game. He's pretty. He's okay. He's always hurt. He always gets hurt. He was dinged up yesterday. And defensively, Watt is a beast. It's just a beast. The corners are okay. The rest of it.
But I've seen them get pushed. I've seen that defense get pushed around the run game a few times.
They went in the 31st in run defense. Despite having him, which tells you what the rest of the guys are.
Yeah, I think they're just okay.
And he's been blocked some. The Giants, last week when the Giants played him, they overloaded. They unbalanced.
Yep.
And they moved Pugh from the right side to the left side. And he handled them two straight plays, one-on-one situation. Now, the next play, he knifed through and dumped the guy for a six-yard loss. But
He's a great player. He's going to make plays.
I mean, but he got blocks on him, though. I was surprised.
How long until Clowney's back for them?
I think he's got another couple
weeks. Couple weeks at least, right?
Yeah, meniscus.
Yeah. The Eagles had 22 rushing yards yesterday, 213 total yards, no offensive touchdowns. They lost 26-21 to San Francisco. What happened to the Eagles' offense?
Well, listen, LeSean McCoy, what no one talks about is that offense is predicated on the run game. And if they can't run the ball, they're very average. Or no, they're below average because all the play action faking that comes off that allows to get the backer stepping up and the crossing routes and the seams and everything else to the tight ends and the deep ends to the receivers is null and void when you can't run the ball. And LeSean McCoy's not having a great year so far this year.
Well, he was down to backup center. The guy was on the scrap heap last year, and they picked him up, and he can't weigh more than 290 pounds, and can't push anybody around. The right tackle wasn't there. The right guard was there. The left tackle was there, and the left guard wasn't
there. I'm not sure how good the right tackle is.
But Lane Johnson? He's coming back, so they'll find out, because this is the week he gets off suspension. But, their line was abused. San Francisco, that was a 21-point shutout for the 49ers because they scored on a punt block, on a punt return, and then an interception.
Pete, how much truth is to the murmuring you hear out of the 49ers players are tired of Harbaugh?
That's true.
And they want him out.
Remind you of anywhere? You guys tired of him here, and you didn't want him out, but you got tired of the way he did things.
But are they that strong? Is the language that strong coming out
It's been making its way.
Is he a miserable person to play for?
He treats them like children. And by that I mean, he is a miserable person to play for. Coaches around the league don't like him. A lot of coaches around the league don't like him either. I mean, Jim walks to his own beat. I mean, that's who he is. He's just.
Don't him and Carroll have a thing back to college?
Oh, yeah, they didn't like each other.
But I'll give you an example of a Harbaugh-ism. Ready? And you tell me if this doesn't reek of I am who I am and I don't care about anybody else. They have a coach's breakfast at the owners' meetings every year.
Yeah.
Well, Belichick, who's Belichick, will be a guy who might show up 20 minutes late. Maybe sometimes he tries not to go or whatever because he's Belichick. He's got, the NFC coaches, AFC coaches meet one day, and and Gus is fantastic, by the way, when he meets him. But the AFC coaches meet one day, and the NFC coaches meet the next. I think it was 2 years ago they had a meeting down in West Palm, and Harbaugh's table's empty for like 30 minutes. And all the other coaches who got up, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's early.
Right. Yeah, they got to be there. They're like, some of them said to me, they go, where is he? I said, well, I guess he's not here. And they were angry about it.
Did he ever show up?
He came in 30 minutes late, showed up, and instead of sitting down and saying, oops, guys, I'm late, I got to sit down and do these, you know, talk to all these guys and everything, he went over, put his stuff down, went and got in line and got breakfast before he sat down. Yeah, I can't tell you how many coaches said to me, they go, that's just reeking of arrogance.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that I think his team, it wears on him.
Well, the word is, he's, you know, Michigan is where he's going to end up. I don't
see him. Have you ever seen a head coach go from take a prime job in the NFL and leave to go to college? When was that?
Well, the word before that was the Dallas Cowboys.
Saban?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he had no success in the college. Right, yeah. I'm talking about a successful NFL coach.
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
Did they pay him $8 million a year? Because that's if he goes to if the Cowboys job became open, I thought he might go there. Miami.
Cowboys job.
Can Michigan pay $8 million a year? I bet they can.
I'm sure they could.
Would they?
I don't know.
Is Alabama a state school?
Yeah, I guess true. Alabama pays like $7 a year.
The salary doesn't come from the state. It comes from boosters.
Alabama operates on a whole different planet.
We got a way to pay.
There's a little cheating going on.
We got a way to pay.
Cheating going on everywhere.
JP chips in.
Real quickly, Patriots, Chiefs tonight at Arrowhead. Who you got?
That's not a good game.
I like the Patriots.
Yep.
I don't think the Chiefs are any good.
I don't, but I noticed today Dobson is inactive. That's not good for the Patriots because they have nobody to get down the field.
But the Chiefs are not very good.
They beat Miami last week. Beat them up pretty good, too.
So you think the Chiefs are good?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Tennessee beat the Chiefs at Kansas City.
That's what I just said. They're not very good. So why are you stating the obvious?
I'm picking New England.
Great show, guys. Well done.
It was fun.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Never got to get off my chest what I wanted to. But
what?
We'll do it next.
No, we've got some crosstalk. Fat Tony can talk you through it, too. What you got? What's on your mind?
I actually forgot, but I knew I just wanted to get off my... No. You know what it was?
What?
Now I think about it. Is all the talk... I mean, I was getting killed yesterday on Twitter. When Bortles starts playing well... you still want Henny to be the starter? You know, are you going to tell us that we're idiots? Did I call the callers idiots 1 week?
You did.
Probably. Yeah.
Did I? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying I did or did. I couldn't remember.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Joe, could you pull that up?
No. We'll have to do it next week.
Sport coats.
Yeah. Sport coats and idiots. But they were they were killing me. And they're mean-spirited people on Twitter. And I showed Pete a tweet.
Directed at me.
Well, they don't like him either. But my point is, I don't think Pete and I disagreed where – I understood what they were doing, but I'm pretty sure I said all along, Pete and I were on the same page. Play the kid and let him learn through it with everyone else.
You were just more understanding about the problem.
Yeah, I understood it. Right. And I'll still argue the fact. Could you say that part of the success he had was because of the way they handled it?
No.
Well, I think you can.
No.
You don't know that, Pete.
You don't know it either.
Well, I know, but I can make the argument. My point.
And I can make the argument the other way.
And that's fine.
Copy facts face off next Monday.
That is fine.
I like it.
My point is on Twitter, people take – I mean, I'll tell you what.
We're past the time.
There's a bunch of GMs. Next week. There's a bunch of GMs on Twitter.
All I know –
there's a lot of guys – they're smart people on Twitter.
You're getting this off your chest in the last possible moment of the show so nobody can respond to you. And that's a smart play.
Oh, they can still respond.
Oh, trust me. No respond.
Fat Tony, what do you make of all this?
Look, I wanted to talk to Tony Baselli about a few things. I will say this to you, Tony. Look, the fans on Twitter, we get to come on here and crack a mic. You get to go on and do the games. We're broadcasting 2-3 times a week. For me, it's 6 or 7. We get to come on here and explain ourselves completely. Fans feel like they have to go over the top constantly just to get your attention. So I guarantee you the trolls that are sending you the "Are we idiots now?" tweets, they just want you to respond so they can
What do
feel
they want me to say, Tony? What do
they just want you to say that they're right.
They're not.
You are
I don't
an idiot.
Think. Well, I mean,
that's all they want to
well,
hear.
Well, then they should call my wife because she'll tell them that.
And sometimes I'll tell them that.
Yeah, and I might get one in there too every once in a while.
Tony, I did want to ask you, though, since I know that you watched the tape of the game yesterday. Watching the game against San Diego, I felt like the defense was better than it's been through the first 3 weeks in that they got just – I don't think it was blown coverages. I think it was bad matchups on a couple plays with Geno Smith and with Winston Guy on Eddie Royal, where Philip Rivers, as a wily veteran quarterback, took advantage of the matchups he had and broke the Jaguars' defense wide open. Other than that, I actually thought they played pretty well yesterday.
There were some mental errors, I think, too. I think it was a combination of stuff. I thought the front seven played well. I thought Sip was solid, good. I thought when Demetrius McCray came in for the injured Dwayne Gross, I thought he did a nice job. You know, the ball he gave up deep to Michael Floyd was a perfect throw by Philip Rivers, almost indefensible, because I thought McCray had good coverage. So, but there's some things they got to get cleaned up in the secondary. There's no doubt about it.
And wanted to ask both you guys before we let you go, Pete, what is your favorite Pittsburgh-Jacksonville moment or memory?
Ooh, good one.
I know my worst.
The best moment is when Fred Taylor went wild in Three Rivers Stadium.
234, was that?
Yeah, that to me, yep. that's when he set the record for Three Rivers Stadium. That was special. And I know people say Chris Hudson and Bill Cowher, but what are you going to say?
I'll tell you my worst first is 1996, second game up there, Three Rivers. And it is we're down 10-0. We're on the 7-yard line going in to make it a 10-7 game. And Mark Brunell calls 62 scat with some protection, meaning I have the most dangerous. And I never saw Carnell Lake come. And he hit Mark Brunell, fumble cause, and ran it back for a 94-yard touchdown. And I'm jogging off the field because I'm blocking the defensive end. I have to read one of two. And I blocked the defensive end because I never saw him coming from the secondary. And I'm jogging off thinking, man, what happened?
Mark never saw him either.
No one did. I said, what happened? And by the time I get to the sideline, I got Kevin Gilbride and Mike Major screaming at me. I'm like, what did I do? And they show me the picture. And I'm like, yeah, I probably should have got that guy. Favorite moment was that one of my favorite moments. Chris Hudson was great. The Fred Taylor game was amazing. 96, opening day. Steelers come in after winning the Super Bowl. Hot day, and we beat the heck out of them to the point where they wanted no more in the fourth quarter.
One hidden game, the Keenan McCardell, Greg Lloyd phone call game.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's good.
Most people don't remember that story. That story nowadays would go viral in about 2 seconds. Remember he said he called his house and threatened his family and all that?
It was great.
Wow.
Those are great games. That was a great division back
then. Great
rivalries. Great rivalries.
Well, that's it from here. Fat Tony Show starts right now.